This is recording 5 of 6 from Neil Walters at HebrewResources.com. Now I'd like to talk to you about learning a language in general and share with you some of the experiences that I've had. So what learning resources and tools are available for learning languages? First of all, let me tell you a bit more about myself. I took, as I mentioned before, Spanish in high school, 3 years there, and then I got almost a minor in college in Spanish. Then I was interested in learning French because I always thought it was such a beautiful language. I was studying some French. Then I decided I wanted to go to Israel, and I decided, well, obviously Hebrew would be better than French for a trip to Israel. So I put French on the back burner and then began Hebrew. And this was in about 1989. Back then, you know, personal computers were starting to become common, but not everybody had one. There was no internet at that time. And I found learning the letters fairly difficult because they're just all I had was a few books here and there, and none of them really had a good approach, I didn't think. So that actually, I kept thinking, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could put this on the computer and we could have immediate feedback and this type of stuff. And of course, today there's hundreds of languages programs for the computer. Then later, I started selling Pimsleur products. At first I wanted to just sell their Hebrew, and then I decided I'd sell all their other products. And so I really wanted to see how well the Pimsleur system worked. Actually, I went on a trip to Brazil once and I used their Portuguese level 1, and I liked it a whole lot, and also used their Hebrew. And so I wanted to try a language that I knew nothing about, so I just picked German. And so I did all 3 levels of German just using the Pimsleur system. And it's an amazing way of learning. Paul Pimsleur came up with this back in, I think, the 60s and 70s. And then the Pimsleur company developed it, and now it's sold by Simon & Schuster. And those are available on my other website, languagelovers.com. And Pimsleur, basically, it doesn't teach you a whole lot of words, but the words you learn, you really learn well, and you learn how to use them. And so I really like his technique, and I'm going to be using it a lot in some of the products I create in the future. Another similar course is Michelle Thomas, and he only does, I think, French, Spanish, Italian, and maybe German, only 4 languages. He doesn't do Hebrew, but he also takes an interesting approach where he starts just teaching you 1 or 2 words, and then he adds another couple of words, and then he keeps making you reuse the words you already know in different ways, and so that you're constantly forced to think in your head and come up with these phrases and actually say them, and then you, before you know it, you're spitting out these words in that language. I've also tried some Mandarin Chinese, and I agree with that other guy. That's the hardest language I've ever tried. Basically, it's also a tonal language. So, for instance, ma, 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 and ma, something like that, mean 4 different things because you have to raise or lower your voice, almost like you're singing the language. And then currently I'm working on Italian. That's fairly easy because if you know Spanish, French, Portuguese, whatever, Italian's in that Romance language family from the Latin Roman languages. And I'm using Michelle Thomas's course for that, and then also Italian for Dummies. And I'll also show you some of the techniques here in a few minutes that I'm using to get the most out of my time. Another great way to learn a language is through music, of course. If you can learn to sing a song in another language, then you go around humming that song and you're learning the vocabulary and the words while you sing. I do provide something called Teach Me Tapes for Hebrew, Spanish, and other languages as well. These are good for kids. They're like children's songs. And for Hebrew specifically, I suggest you just go to any tape or book or record store and get some basic Israeli music, folk songs, whatever you want to call it, and start listening to them. Then, of course, listening to spoken words or audios is tremendously important for learning a language. You want to model your language after the native or the speakers from that country. This is usually done by listening to CDs. Used to be audio tapes, and it was CDs, and now we're starting to see MP3s appear. And so most courses you buy right now are on CDs, but you can also burn them on your computer using a Microsoft Media Player, for instance, which is free. It's called ripping a CD, and you can take that file, turn it into an MP3 file, and then for anywhere from probably $30 to $100, you can get an MP3 player, and then you can put those files on your MP3 player and carry them with you and listen to them wherever you go. I travel a lot. I'm a computer consultant, and so when I'm sitting on the plane or waiting on my luggage or waiting on, you know, taxi, whatever, I can be listening to my Hebrew tapes or Hebrew CDs or whatever. Video is a good way to learn, but the problem I have with video is you have to be sitting in front of a TV or computer to be able to watch it. And whereas with CDs, you can listen to when you're in the shower, literally, or when you're walking, jogging, cooking, and so on. Then there's printed material. I think picture books are great for kids. Printed material is also good to practice your reading skills. Then, of course, there's software, which is usually a multimedia program, kind of includes all of the above. It includes printed material on the screen. It includes spoken words. Oftentimes, it includes videos right there on the screen. But the problem with software is you have to be at your computer to use it. So I think software is great, but you have to have a computer and be able to use it on a regular basis. A new way of learning is also on PDA devices. PDA is a portable, I even forgot what the acronym stands for. But anyway, it's like those little computers you carry around in your pocket. A lot of phones are now PDAs as well. And sometimes they have flashcard and programs that speak and stuff like that on them. Flashcards are a great way to learn. I have these different languages for flashcards, and they're only like $13 a box, and you get like 1,000 flashcards in there. And so what you can do is get rubber bands, put the flashcards in your pocket, and again, you're at the grocery store standing in line. Instead of being upset that the line is so long, you just pull out your flashcards, and you learn 4 or 5 new words. And then you keep repeating and looping through the words. Of course, I've already mentioned making a trip to Israel or whatever country you want to learn a language. That's a great way to, first of all, to motivate you before you go to learn, and then while you're there, you'll learn a tremendous amount as well. Then, of course, you could take a class, and there are both physical or virtual classes. Lots of times you can look in your local town, and if you have a Jewish community center, they will offer Hebrew classes, usually on Sundays, for instance. And then there are also teleclasses available now. I sell the system called Ulpan Or, which is kind of modeled after the Ulpan systems in Israel. They have books and CDs, but then also for a small fee, you can sign up and have a teacher on the phone. And then basically they review your lessons and force you to speak, and they ask you questions and you answer them. So anytime you can be involved with a personal tutor like that, whether it be a physical or a virtual classroom, you will find that you will learn a lot better. The other thing would be to study with a friend and then ask each other questions. Many times you can go to a synagogue too, and they will be offering classes. And another way to really make Hebrew learning good would be to live with a family. So if you could go to Israel, you know, if you're staying in a hotel, you may not be forced to speak Hebrew very much. But if you could actually stay with a relative or stay in somebody's home, then, and especially if they don't speak English, then that's going to force you to speak the language, and you'll really learn it a lot better. Let me talk to you some more about the different audios I've heard. Probably the worst ones are just boring lists of words. I've heard tapes where all they do is they basically say the English word and then the Hebrew word, then the English word, then the Hebrew word, or vice versa. And those are so boring you can hardly stand them. I did create a series called the Top 400 Words of the Hebrew Bible that's on audio tape and audio CD. And I didn't want it to be a boring list of words like that. So it's 400 words, and I think it's 4.5 hours of recordings that I did where I try to talk about the words, try to put them into context, try to give just different insights into the word, especially since they're biblical words. Another thing you hear on audios oftentimes are stories or dialogues. I'm kind of going with the story approach on some new products I'm creating. I'll tell you about that toward the end of this audio. But oftentimes they'll have a dialogue, and they'll just start talking, blah, 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 and they're just going so fast you can't understand them. So as beginners, they need to be aware of that. They need to slow it down and dumb it down for us, basically. This is why I like methodologies like Pimsleur and Michelle Thomas, because they'll give you one or two words at a time, and then they'll say, now, how would you say this? And they force you to think in the language that you're learning and to respond, and that's when you really learn. Another concept I've seen used is sometimes called super learning or accelerated learning. This involves getting the brain into something called the alpha state. And by now, this has actually become pretty scientific, that when you're walking around during the day, you're in what's called the beta state. And there's actually certain wavelengths that your brain creates. And this can actually be measured with, I think it's an EEG machine. And by closing your eyes and relaxing and actually listening to certain types of music or sounds, your brain can go into a learning state called the alpha state. They say that a lot of Mozart's music puts you in the alpha state, and that the Baroque music in general is good for the alpha state. And then there are companies that also create special CDs that you listen to with headphones, for instance. And if you go to my website, developyourpotential.com, you can learn more about that. But that's not specifically for language learning. One of the companies I've seen use that is Accelerated Learning. But again, they only have like French, Spanish, German, and Italian, the kind of the four popular languages. And on there, they play Baroque music in the background. So you, as you're learning and driving down the street, saying your Spanish words, for instance, you hear this pretty kind of classical music at the same time. And that basically relaxes you and helps your brain to absorb this new language and new vocabulary. They claim that you can learn five times as fast while you're in the alpha state. Lots of times the alpha state music will also have things like the sound of rain in the background or a stream or birds or something like that. I think that stuff, like I said, has been proven that it really does work. And if that can be incorporated into your learning, that's an interesting idea. Another thing I've mentioned before is setting goals, but also an easy, steady pace. Don't try to get it all done. Like, don't try to learn Hebrew in 1 month, you know. Be realistic, pace it out, and say, okay, I'm going to study so much a week for the next year or two. And take breaks, but keep coming back. I've noticed lots of times when I study something new, I'll hit it real hard, maybe for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'll kind of go off and do other things, or I'll have a project at work, take all my time. But then I go back to it. And even though I go back to it, you know, I'm going to remember some of it, and I study it again, and the second time I study it, it gets a little easier. And then I go off and do something else, and I come back 3 months later, and I study it again, and this time it's a lot easier, for instance. And so, you know, don't be afraid to take breaks and to keep coming back to Hebrew, because over a period of months and years, you really will see your knowledge in it grow. And I would also suggest variety. The brain likes variety. So try different methods of learning. Try computers, try books, try videos, try audios, try different things. A couple other points is use trial and error. And especially when you're listening to audios, you really should respond out loud. When the guy on the tape or CD says, repeat this word, don't just repeat it in your mind. Actually make your mouth and vocal cords move and repeat that word audibly out loud. Hopefully you don't have people around and think you're crazy when you do it. But you know, if you're on your own, it's very good to say these words out loud. And language is almost always tied to culture. For instance, when you think of Italian, you think of people moving their hands and gesturing wildly. And Hebrew, we think again, is the holy language, the language of the Bible, language of the synagogue.
Someone told me that it's actually impossible to curse in Hebrew, that in Israel, if they want to curse, they have to use Arabic.
So it's interesting how language is tied to culture. Imitate and mimic. Again, when you hear a native speaker, don't be shy. Don't be afraid to make mistakes and try to say the words the way they say it. If they say Chaim, then you try to make that ch sound the same way, even if you sound like you're clearing your throat, you know, Chaim. And sometimes they say their reshes, the letter R, like resh, resh. And at first those sounds are hard to do, but try to over-exaggerate, mimic, and try to make the sound just like the person that you're listening to. Have enthusiasm for learning your language, and then eventually you'll learn more grammar as well. If you know a little bit of English grammar, it will help you. But what I find is that you really learn your English grammar when you start studying your first foreign language. And so eventually you'll learn nouns, verbs, prepositions, adjectives, adverbs, things like that. So don't be afraid of the grammar, but eventually you'll learn that as well. Another thing I've been trying to do lately is, I guess it's sort of a learning technique. I just basically call it CDs around the house. I recently went to, I believe, Target or something, and I bought 2 additional CD players. And I put one in the kitchen. I bought the type that you can mount under your cabinet. And so when I'm in the kitchen, I can always pop a CD in and listen to it. The other one is not a totally portable one, but I put it in my bathroom. Now, I can't quite hear it in the shower. I could if I wanted to. They actually make one that's semi-water resistant that you can actually put in your shower. But, you know, while you're taking a shower, brushing your teeth, and combing your hair, doing all those things you do in the morning, you know, even if that's only 15 minutes a day, if you could be playing Hebrew or whatever language you want to learn, while you're doing that, you really will start to remember a lot of those words. And I kind of call this passive learning. You know, you can repeat if you want to, but just by the fact you have it going day in, day out, you know, in the car, in the kitchen, in the bathroom. If you have 5 rooms in your house, I'd get a CD player for every room and have it where it's easy to touch to turn on and touch to turn off, and maybe where it can remember what lesson you were on and continue. and just be listening all the time to this language wherever you go. And then again, I mentioned earlier, you can get MP3 players where you can take it with you outside of your house. So now let's stop and think about, again, why do you want to learn Hebrew? What is it you want to learn? Do you want to learn biblical or modern? Let's talk about that for just a second. A lot of people want to know, what's the difference? Well, I've heard with Greek that there's like three different styles of Greek. There's like classical, biblical, and modern Greek. And they're not very similar from what I've heard. I've not really studied it in detail. However, with Hebrew, to me, the biblical and the modern is not that different. There are some, you know, grammar changes, but the vocabulary carries forward. The main thing I find is that in biblical Hebrew, you're talking about things like, you know, of course, God, the patriarchs, people in the desert and husbands and wives and holiness and sanctification and the temple and sacrifice and wars and pillars of clouds and pillars of fire, that type of thing. So that's not like what you'd normally be speaking about when you're talking to another person. In modern Hebrew, you're talking about, I need to buy a car, I need to go to the grocery store, I need to rent a car, I need to take a flight. So those type of words, car, flight, supermarket, of course, are not going to be in the Bible. But you might learn the word like I need or I want. That's going to be both biblical and modern. So there's a lot of crossover between the two. Should you learn both at the same time, or should you learn one then the other? I kind of like to mix it up a little. I think it's good to learn a little biblical and then switch to modern and then go back to biblical and back to modern. So you might want to have two different kind of courses going on at the same time there. So again, why do you want to speak Hebrew? Do you want to really speak it, or do you want to study the Bible? I think those are the two most common things. Do you want to learn to pray, or do you want to learn to speak to Israelis? Or do you just want exposure to one of the most amazing languages that there is? Now stop and think about how you want to do it. We've talked about the learning styles earlier. Do you want to learn at your computer? Do you want to learn while you're driving your car? Again, I was talking about a while ago, like learning while you brush your teeth and that type of thing. I used to commute 45 minutes twice a day to work. That's an hour and a half a day that I spend in my car. And even with PEMSR, they suggest you only listen to 30 minutes a day. But whatever, however many minutes you listen to, an hour and a half a day times 5 days a week, I think that's 7.5 hours. And if you multiply that times 50 weeks, that's at least over 350 hours a year that you're driving in your car. And if you just listen to music, I mean, music is great. I love music. But what are you learning? How are you progressing your life? So just that time you spend in your car, if you listen to Hebrew or foreign language CDs, it's like getting kind of like this college education just while you're driving around.